Item 1003, accept the year four report on the $68 million Parks 2014 general obligation bond.
Commissioner Fish.
Madam President and colleagues, Portland voters overwhelmingly approved the Parks replacement bond in 2014. The $68 million bond funded some of the most critical repairs and improvements to our park system, including playground replacements and repairs, improved accessibility and ADA compliance, new mechanical systems and swimming pool fixes, visitor and employee safety enhancements, restroom improvements, and more. We all agree that oversight is a critically important part of managing the bond. Oversight includes an independent bond oversight committee, an audit, and this annual report to council. I'm pleased to report that this year's presentation demonstrates strong performance, accountability, and opportunity. Robin Laughlin, bond program manager, is here to talk more about those successes. Before I turn it over to Robin, I'd like to take a moment to once again thank Commissioner Fritz. Amanda has been the bond's champion, and her leadership helped Portlanders understand how it would benefit them and our cherished park system. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you.
And now I'll turn it over to you, Robin.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam President and members of council. I'm Robin Laughlin. I'm the bond program manager for Portland Parks and Recreation. And as mentioned, I'm here today to share with you the progress we've made in year four on the bond program. I'm not getting a slide to advance.
Thank you. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sorry about
what
that.
What would we do without you? That's
we'd have one slide.
That's the regular question around here.
Thank you. As mentioned, the Parks Replacement Bond does provide up to $68 million to make urgent repairs in our parks and our community centers across the city. We did just complete our last fourth year. We track our years on the fiscal year. So as of July 30th, 2019, June 30th, 2019, these are the dates we'll be reporting on. And there's a lot of information to share in the long report that you have, and we'll be focusing on the three key areas today of performance, opportunity, and accountability. And as a bonus, I want to share some of the ways that the Bureau has been able to leverage SDC funds and other opportunities to really amplify the work of the bond.
And SDCs are system development charges or construction fees.
Thank you, yes. In past years, the bond program has remained consistent with the language of the measure, with project work focused on the seven established themes of playground repair and replacement, trails and bridges, pools, protecting workers, Pioneer Courthouse Square, accessibility, and restrooms and other urgent repairs. On the map you see in front of you, the black symbols represent the completed projects to date, and the orange symbols represent projects that are underway. Our performance. At this time, we have 52 bond projects all underway or complete, and of those, 34 are completed on the ground and ready for the public to use, and 18 are currently underway. At the end of the last fiscal year, we had spent $40.8 million, and we're on track to complete spending in 2021. In this last fiscal year, our bond team completed 10 projects, bringing that total to 34. And so we've got a nice big number of projects that are completed. Of the projects that are currently underway, we have five that are ahead of schedule.
I'm sorry, go back to that slide for a second.
Sure thing.
15.
It says 15 ahead of schedule, three behind schedule?
Yeah, there's 15 that are ahead or on. Of the 15 that are ahead or on schedule, five of those are actually ahead of schedule.
Okay, thank you.
The 52 bond projects that have been promised to the voters, we expect to be able to deliver those within the $68 million that are available. And we anticipate any remainder funds will be spent on projects that are within keeping of our fiscal policies and the intentions of the bond to make repairs to our most urgent needs in the system. In making those decisions, I'll be working with our Commissioner Fish, Director Long, and our Oversight Committee to make sure we pick the right projects for the community. One bit of excellent news in the slide in front of you is reporting on our cumulative spending for administrative costs. We're right now at 4.3 of overall bond spending has been spent on administrative fees, and our target for the program was 10%.
Well done.
Thank you. It's a really, really efficient team. It's been a pleasure. Opportunity. This is my favorite slide that I get to share with
you
today.
Could you go back one slide for a second?
Sure thing.
You know, there is an administrative cap in mm-hmm. the bond measure that went to the voters, right?
I believe the measure was, I'd have to check the measure. I believe it was silent on the numbers, but it's been an internal goal.
It was an internal goal. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we're now at 4.3 cumulative?
Yes.
Very good.
Yep. Some of the numbers you see there in the first year, that's a lot of startup time, and we didn't have a lot of projects in construction. As we get further into construction, where we spend most of the money in the program, that's where we see that administrative fee going down, because less of the overall spending is spent on that.
Thank you.
So back to my favorite slide. The Bureau is not only working to improve the infrastructure for our community, the bond funding is also really being invested in the greater Portland community to ensure that disadvantaged, minority-owned, women-owned, and emerging small businesses have an opportunity to design, bid on, and build these projects for our community. Our success rate is laudable. To date, 31% of the value of professional technical contracts for bond work has been awarded to these firms. These are firms that are architects, landscape architects, engineers in our community. And 41% of the value of the construction contracts have also gone to these firms.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. Can you tell me if you have the breakdown of this 41%? Do you have the demographic breakdown?
Yes, but no. For the 41% of our construction contracts, let me find the right number here. Of those 20, of the 41%, 26% went to disadvantaged business enterprises.
And remind me the definition of disadvantaged business enterprises.
The state defines that as businesses that have been historically disadvantaged, and this represents a wide spectrum of types of businesses. It's typically minorities and women, and other disadvantages are allowed as well, but the applicant has to prove that they are had been historically disadvantaged. Does that answer that?
Okay.
So, yeah, I've asked our... some of our analyst staff to see if we can really dig into this, because what happens is you can be an African-American business owner and sign up either as a minority and as a DBE, so you can hold both certifications, as it were, and it's not, but I don't have a real clear way right now, but we're working on to find out within that D category, how many were women?
Yes.
How many were Asian? How many were Filipino?
That's what I care about.
Yeah.
Yes,
because
I know we do a good job of lumping all this stuff together, but mm-hmm. we don't do a good job of actually disaggregating it to
right.
say this is really who benefited from these mm-hmm. these dollars. And so I don't expect you to be able to break it yeah. down today if you say no, you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very interested in knowing the specifics, yeah. so I would appreciate a briefing in my office about mm-hmm. really the real disaggregated information.
Yeah, thank you. I'll see
I never
what
believe
we can
it
find.
When I see mm-hmm. the percentage until mm-hmm. I see the disaggregated yeah. numbers.
I do have a copy of the breakdown I can share with you if you'd like.
So we would be pleased to not only give you a briefing on that, but yeah. let me add an additional question that I would have in addition to my colleagues, and that is because I think there's some other good news that's embedded in this.
Mm-hmm.
The number of projects where there has been a MWESB prime contractor versus a sub.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Parks has done some really good work with the prime contractor doing the work that's a minority-owned firm.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could break that out as well, and we can talk about how you did that.
Yes.
Because that
mm-hmm.
has eluded us under a lot of yeah. other contracts and other bureaus, as well as disaggregating the data. I'd be interested in seeing both.
Wonderful. And the professional service contracts as well, because as I read the audit, there were some questions about folks being pre-approved and kind of the timeline that they stayed in that pre-approved status. So that would be helpful.
We'll get you that briefing.
Thank you. And we are on our way to the disaggregation between the primes and the subs. I've gotten numbers here, but not percentages.
But the numbers are pretty good, aren't they?
They are pretty good, yes.
I think under Commissioner Fritz's watch in particular, not only did we get some prime contractors, but in the process, we achieved the goal of building capacity. So that a couple of successful projects led to other projects because they finally got a chance to compete.
Yeah, I can just, pulling a quick number here, for fiscal 19, our women-owned businesses in construction, a total of $347,506 went to that in total. Of that, it was about 50-50 between primes and subs.
Good. So. Look forward to the follow-up.
Great. Any other questions, sir?
Keep going.
Great. So on to accountability, as we reported back in January of this year, we did perform a performance audit, and they were required as part of the bond measure to ensure fiscal responsibility. To meet this obligation, Harvey M. Rose Associates was hired to perform the audit at the midpoint of the delivery, and we do plan to do another one at the end of the conclusion of the bond work. The findings of the audit confirmed that we are spending in a manner that adheres to the language of the measure. We're operating in a fiscally responsible manner, and that our existing documentation systems are transparent, in place, and functioning well. The initial bond work, as touched on before, had an extensive outreach process that garnered a lot of public support, thanks to Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish. And we are building upon those efforts, and our team has engaged in public outreach that's been tailored to each of the projects, as the numbers on the screen indicate. Our work around community engagement also continues to reflect our increasingly diverse community's needs and desires, including specific outreach efforts to engage with Spanish-speaking, Somali, Vietnamese, and Russian communities. Our oversight committee continues to provide oversight for the program. We just met last week to present this report to them, and you'll be seeing a report from them at the end of this year or early January on our work.
Robin, I see that Zeri Santner, who's on the oversight committee, is here. Is she going to be presenting, or should we just acknowledge her? Well, Zeri is front and center in this picture. She's also in the chambers. Longtime director of Portland Parks and Recreation. Zeri, thank you very much for your service. And she's now on the Parks Foundation board as well. Yeah. So I don't know where she finds the time to go. There you go.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So our committee members also include Jonathan Colon, there in the back on the slide, and Karen Loper-Tracy, Zeri Santner, Ken Richardson, and you might recognize Jan Mason. She was just here for the Philippine American Month celebration. Last year, they recommended that we look into the public's perception of the bond's openness and transparency, and to meet that effort, our public involvement staff reached out to the community to say, hey, how we're doing. The results are looking pretty good. More than 75% of the survey participants had heard about the bond, and the majority of them knew that it was for repairs and replacements in our system. And when it came to our transparency, 36% thought it was very good or good, and a really big number of people really didn't have an opinion on it, so we're feeling pretty good about these numbers. And as I mentioned, the Oversight Committee will be coming to you likely in early January with a report on our work, and is independent of the work that we do. So as you may know, all the bond projects bring quality improved services to our community, and I'd like to share the few projects that we completed this last year. This one is an example of Cooch Park, where we were able to leverage the bond funding thanks to our partnership with Harper's Playground. We now have a new inclusive playground at Cooch Park in Northwest Portland, and it was completed this last spring. The playground renovation project also included much-needed accessibility improvements in the plaza so folks can get from the sidewalk right to the playground, no matter their mobility issues. The project also brought a new Portland Loop to the site. And I'm also proud to announce that at last 2 weeks ago at the Oregon Park and Recreation Association's annual conference, this project received a state-level project design award. We're very proud of that and their work. Other improvements around the city include Raymond Park. We received a new Portland Loo at this site, providing much-needed services to this East Portland Loo, this East Portland Park. And at Ed Benedict Park, we also made some restroom improvements where we increased accessibility in the plaza surrounding the restroom and made some improvements in the restroom so it can now be open year-round. St. John's Community Center focused on asset preservation with a new roof, heating and cooling systems, and some seismic upgrades. So looking ahead, we have just a few more projects yet to go to construction over the next 6 months or so, and these will be the final projects in the bond program. And entering this fifth year of the program, our team is really looking forward to celebrating with the community as Portlanders see even more results of their investments in their playgrounds and their pools and all of the different park services that they get to receive on a daily basis. So that's all I have to share today. I'm happy to present the annual report to you, and one lesson of this will be on the Parks website as well, so it is available for the public. And we have short forms of the report. You all should have copies of it, and I've got extras here if anyone in the audience would like to see them. We have this in English and in Spanish, and these will be being distributed to community centers and libraries across the city.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Daly.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you for the presentation. Really seems like the Parks bond is very much on track. You got one of the most glowing audits that I've seen in the last 2.5 years since I've been here. The auditor did have 5 findings and 8 recommendations in the audit, and you did touch on it, but I'm wondering if you have made any adjustments or addressed any of those.
Yes. Yes, thank you. There are 8 recommendations that came in the audit that were to improve the efficiencies that we're already seeing. They just wanted to see just a little bit more tracking of some of the work that we're doing. We have all the data, but just a little bit more clear way to do it. And we have been picking those off one by one. I think we have about 3 of those efforts started or completed, and the rest are yet to be underway.
Great. And I'd also just like to say congratulations on the Cooch Park Playground. I was a student at MLC and worked in the before and after school daycare there. I will miss that structure, but it was long overdue for replacement. I also lived across the street from that park for 18 years, and there wasn't a single accessible feature in the park, so I'm really excited to bring my son there to see all the changes and enjoy the playground.
Okay. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Madam President. I did have a couple of questions about the audit, too. The first question is on the bottom of page 33. I'm just curious as to whether there was a typo around awarded contracts for on-call civic engineers. Because if the solicitation goes out in October of 2019 to begin the service in January 1st, 2019, probably wasn't accurate. If I'm reading this correct, it's the last paragraph.
Okay, I found it. Yeah, we did have a planned solicitation in August of 2018. Some of this got put off by some of the job order contracting work that was being done, but we did have we've been using civil engineers throughout the program. We can only, I think the first issue of that contract was for 2 years and it had gotten renewed for 1 year. So we had to issue a new solicitation for that to continue the work of the program. And there's other divisions within parks that uses those on-call contracts as well.
And, but there was a question about whether or not the pool of those on-call contracts had been expanded. Did you see what I mean about the date at the bottom?
I think you're early October 2018. That's the one, 2019. That's probably their typo there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I checked that, yes, because that didn't add up for me. On the next page, the next to the last paragraph talked about an insufficient
a lack of sufficient qualified contractors in the bureau's on-call pool. And so what's the process to improve that?
Right. This was the opinion of the auditor that we didn't have quite enough contract monitoring in place, and what the Bureau had been doing were a pretty small floor, and it's, you know, walking over to Kate and saying, hey, Kate, looks like our numbers are coming down. I've got my programs schedule, and these are the projects I've got coming up. These are the services I expect to need. Can we get something going? And I know you need 4 to 5 months to get that going. We didn't have it written down. And it was the best practices that we perform, but we hadn't captured it in writing as a protocol, and that's what they were looking for, so that the next people coming along could have a protocol to follow.
And that's been done, or that's in the process?
It's in the process. Mm-hmm.
I guess my last question has to do with what procedures are being put in place to actually monitor the effectiveness of the contractors that are working on these contracts.
Right. That was one of two recommendations for improvement that are really out of our Bureau's control. We've been working with procurement because they're the ones that hold the contracts, but right now we don't have a really good process for that. I have let Lester and his team know that these are some things that came up in our audit, and I think that's something we definitely need to work towards making some movement on.
I do have one more question, and it's about, and I don't know if this is an appropriate question for you. I noticed that some of the projects had the opportunity to have systems development dollars attached to them so that the improvements mm-hmm. were bigger than they would have been if you were just using bond mm-hmm. funding. Mm-hmm. How is the decision made that this project gets this SDC funding to do more improvements versus another park who also could have had more improvements? How are those decisions made, and where are they made?
It's one of the joys of being the Parks Commissioner is that you get to make those decisions.
The Parks Commissioner makes that decision? And is it based on some priority list or something?
It's based on the equity score of the location. There's various different factors that go into that decision.
I look forward to talking to you about that more. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Colleagues, I'll entertain a motion to accept the report.
So moved.
Second.
Carla, please call the roll.
You Daly?
Aye.
Fish?
Well, I want to thank the whole Parks team for their stellar work. I want to thank our oversight body, and I want to thank all of the employees of Portland Parks and Rec who have been implementing the bond programs and our community partners. I've had the great pleasure of being at a number of ribbon cuttings over the last couple months. The work is really terrific. The public communication started by my predecessor and continued under me, I think, continues to be strong. The audit is strong, and we are we're achieving numbers that I think anyone contemplating a future bond measure would envy in terms of hitting our mark. It takes a whole team effort, so I don't want to single out anyone in particular. Robin, you're in charge, so thank you. And I'm very pleased to accept this report. Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Fritz?
Robin, thank you very much for your work and for the entire team's work on this. They've got other colleagues here as well. It was a 100-day campaign to pass this bond measure. I did the first 60 days, and then from the end of September to November, Commissioner Fish jumped right in and helped out. The voters did overwhelmingly approve it, and it's really important when you're raising more money from taxpayers to remember that the taxpayers are going to want to know that it's been spent wisely. And so I really appreciate the report. The audit is fantastic. But most of all, it's the joy that you see when you go to these places where there was rotting structures, as Commissioner Udaly said, or there was nothing, and a restroom is now there for people to use. And we did look at where can we leverage the investments of system development charges to make a better project. That Gabriel Park is going to be a fully accessible playground because of being able to add in. Because again, we promised the voters this was just for fixing stuff, so it wasn't for really exciting new stuff. So fortunately, we had the other stream of money to be able to do those improvements. So I'm really pleased with this report, and thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your ongoing leadership of the Bureau.
Thank you.